Father, we come to you with lives, men and women, who need you in various stages of their life. We ask you to bless. May the blessed Holy Spirit have his way as the Word of God is preached in Jesus' name. Amen. Due to a number of things that I've been called in to contact with the past few days, God began to whisper to my heart a text that he laid on my heart a long while ago. In the 18th Psalm and the 33rd verse, we read, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places." This scripture is so important that God gave it a place three times in this Bible. Thus, as we think of it, we come to realize that there's a great deal here for you and me. There are so many scriptures that are in the Bible that show us that God is for us. God, long, long ago, was reconciled to man. And at Calvary, the Bible tells us he reconciled man to himself. And God has been for us from the eternities past. And he wants us to be victors. He wants us to have his best. And any and all of God's children can be like the psalmist, and they can have hinds feet and be set on their high places. Israel said, "I will lift up mine eyes beyond the hills, from whence cometh my help." Israel understood that the help of man was a vain thing. We live in an hour when man's abilities are emphasized. It's what man can do. And we have religion after religion in this time that appeals to man to do something for himself and to be something within himself. But the scriptures don't bring this out. The scriptures bring out the fact that man needs the enablement of God to do the thing that God would have him do. You'll notice our text says, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places." And what God did for the psalmist, and what God did for Abraham, and what God did for Jacob and Joseph and uncounted thousands of others in their own particular life, that is, give them victory and enable them to leave the low places and go into the high places. So God, in his thought and plan for our lives, is able to enable us to do what he would have us do. Now, I look out over this congregation, and I thank God for you. You're a part of a congregation that is beginning to break the seams again. It hasn't been quite a year, and we're beginning to run out of room on a Sunday morning. And how deeply grateful to God we are for a people that love God and who are witnessing to their friends and such like, and yet without any spirit of condemnation or judgment for you, I have to realize that some of you are falling short of your high places. And you'll never realize your high places until you get your hind's feet. I read the story some years ago of a Christian writer. The man had talent. He had education. But he said when he would come to write, he would find himself in a turmoil. And he became so frustrated that he finally had a nervous breakdown. He went to a doctor, and the doctor advised him that he should go to some guest ranch or somewhere in the West and get out away from the humdrum and the noise of everything and rest. So he found a ranch in the West, and he went there, just a regular ranch. It wasn't a guest ranch, just a place, and he was able to secure lodging and worked out a deal with the ranch owner. And so one day he heard the owner say to the boys, he said, "Well, in the morning, some of us will have to take some salt up to number 6 Mesa and salt the cattle." And then he turned to the rider and he said, "Would you like to go along?" He said, "Well, I'd love to go along." So the next morning, he had a fine horse, beautiful horse, saddled up for the man, and they rode along. And they got up to what they called the 5th Mesa. And he said to the rider, "Now you'll have to stay here." He said, "Your horse is not like ours, and it's such a dangerous trail from here on that we'll go on up and leave you behind." "Well," he said, "why is it that my horse, he's a beautiful horse, he rides well, in fact, he seems to be the finest horse in the group?" "Well," he said, "I'll tell you why. Your horse doesn't have hind's feet." "Well," he said, "what do you mean?" He said, suddenly, that scripture that had puzzled me all my life as a Christian stood out. "Well," he said, "I'll show you. Get off." He led their horses. He said, "Now you see these horses that we're riding, they perfectly track. They put their hind foot where the front foot picks itself up. Now we'll walk your horse." "Now," he said, "you see, your horse, he puts his front foot down somewhere, and then he misses that track quite a bit with his back foot. Now," he said, "you get him up in those trails, and his front foot will set down all right, but the back foot is likely to miss the trail, and then you'd go." "Well," he said, "I said, go on. I've got something to think about anyway." He said, "I got down on my knees. I said, 'Lord, I thank you that you sent me out here and had an old cowboy tell me what's wrong with me all these years.' He said, 'I just haven't been tracking. I've been at odds and ends with myself. I've been working against myself. I've been in a turmoil, and I've been frustrated all these years. My life is pulling against itself, and instead of there being rhythm, there's a tug of war inside of me. And he said, in a few days I went home and wrote the book easily that I'd been trying to write. And he said, I've been a successful writer ever since. I got my hind feet. Well, I know we're not under law. The Bible tells us that we're not under law, but under grace. And yet the first and the second commandment express something that God would have us know. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And then it says, the second one, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now here we have the heart's affections in the heart. In the soul we have the seat of worship. In the mind we have the seat of the intellect. And in the body we have the place of physical strength. And you see, when we love God in all of these ways and our neighbor as ourself, then we begin to arrive at a place of harmony. And you see, when we love, we are in harmony with God. Anyone that knows God and understands God knows that the Bible says God is love. And love is the center of the gospel. And it is the center of our salvation. And it is the beginning and the ending of our salvation. Everything that we have to do in this world with men, somehow, some way, the love of God is at the center of it. You find that God so loved the world that he gave. And we love him because he first loved us. The Apostle Paul, in explaining the great sacrifice of his life, he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. And so we find that this is true. So in our own lives, when it's this way, when the love of God seizes on our heart and our soul and our minds and our strength, there comes to be harmony. And we get our hinds feet. And getting our hinds feet, we begin to get on our high places. Now, someone painted a mural, quite a good size, and it portrayed the tug of war inside of men and women. It showed two men wrestling. They looked exactly alike. They were the same size. The physique was the same. But in the picture, one of them was down and the other one had his foot on his neck. And the title of this drawing was The Eternal Conflict. Then we think of how Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And then the psychiatrist, they call this schizophrenia. As two personalities. Now, that isn't really true. You see, the sinner doesn't have two personalities. Not really. He may have had two environments bear on the one personality. You have to be born again to have two personalities. You have to receive the life of Christ before you have two personalities. You see, when we're born into this world, the Bible tells us we are conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible tells us that this nature is at enmity with God. It is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. Now, it can be religious. It can do many things, but it cannot really love God. And then when we're born of God, another life comes in. And then the struggle begins. The struggle between the new life and the struggle between the old. And only Paul can tell you how to solve this struggle. And in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, he said, "The thing that I would not, that do I. The thing that I would, that do I. Not, wretch that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But then our text has to do with high places. And to be safe, we realize, is the goal of most of God's precious people. They're like, I thought, so many of God's precious people are like so many of John Bunyan's characters. He had so many, and I just jotted down a few of them that I could think of. Pliable, obstinate, simple, sloth, timorous, mistrust, buy-ins, ignorance, little faith, temporary, ready to halt, and such like. And these are the things that manifest themselves so often in the life of God's precious people. And the devil, one way or the other, seeks to hold them back and seeks to hinder their spiritual progress lest they take their high places. And yet the Bible teaches repeatedly, God's best. And if your life tracks right, you'll have God's best. Our youngest daughter recently was going to work, or coming from work, I don't know which. I was out of the city. She got down here on the Valley Highway, and some man turned in on her. And her car went into a spin, and it hit the guardrail, and it bent the fender, and one thing and another, and she could drive it, however, until they could get to fixing it. But she told me, she said, "Oh, it just drives terrible. I can hardly make it go. It just seems to pull this way and that way, and it don't run right." Now you see, it wasn't tracking. She took it out to the garage. They found out in that short a time it was so out of line that it wore the two front tires out. And they had to put two new tires on it. They had to line the thing up, straighten it up, and fix it up. And when she brought it home, I said, "How does it run?" And she said, "Dad, it just runs like a new car." Now, you see, that car would make it all right out here on the level ground. But if you'd have gotten it up there in some of those steep hills, it'd have given you trouble. And that's just it. We live in a time when so many of God's precious people, they can do all right as long as everything's going well. They can do all right as long as there's no temptation. They can do all right as long as the environment is right. And there are no tests, no obstacles, no troubles. But when they come up against it, it don't go right. You see, the thing of it is, you haven't gotten your hind feet yet. You'll never get to the heights until you do. The psalmist said, "He maketh my feet like hind's feet and setteth me upon my high places." Now we wonder at the difference in the life of men like Lot and Abraham. Both of them came out at the same time of Ur of the Chaldees.
Both of them spent 25 years in Haran. Both of them came over the Jordan and into the land of Canaan probably the same day. For several years they lived together. But finally, old Lot ended up out yonder in the low places, in the plains of Sodom, and Abraham ended up in the hills of Judea. One of them got his hind's feet, the other one didn't. You think about Saul and David. Saul had every opportunity. He was head and shoulders above others. He was a fine specimen of a man. He was very popular with the people. He had so much going for him. But you see, he never did get his hind's feet. And this man was defeated. This is repeated again and again and again and again throughout the Bible. I could take you to instance after instance that bears out this fact. Two people, apparently no different, environment the same, conditions the same, background the same, resources the same, oftentimes two in the same family. One of them gets his hind's feet, the other one doesn't. You know the story. There's no way of measuring the worth of your hind's feet. There's nothing that I could say to you that would overestimate the worth to your life that you get your hind's feet. There is nothing worth your life but the heights of God's purpose for you. I think of Samson, how he could do anything when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But the trouble of it was, he didn't yield very often to the Spirit of God. And I read of a true experience of an executive, and he wrote how that when he set up his office, he set it up in a way that he thought no one in that office would be indispensable. But he said a few weeks went by, and he said he noticed that the office boy would work a little extra around a certain desk. He'd come in and put flowers on the desk. He said he'd go out at times, and where this young lady sat, why, the different ones in the office would be coming over to her desk talking to her. So he said, well, one day I thought, well, I'll call her in the office and see what this is all about. He said he called her in. He said, why is it that everyone seems to cultivate your friendship? And why is it that everyone has a smile for you? And what is it about that desk that makes it like a magnet that everyone comes over when they can? Well, she said, I'll tell you how it was. She said, a few years ago, I was so miserable and lonely and fearful. She said, I had no friends. Nothing seemed to go right. I went from one job to another. And she said, I was just so unhappy. But she said, one night, one of my friends invited me to go to a gospel meeting. She said, I went in that place, and Christ came into my life, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, when I came back to work after that, everything looked different. Everything seemed different. Everything was different. She said, instead of my being fearful, I had confidence. Instead of being miserable, I was happy. Instead of being lonely, I felt like I had the sunshine of everything falling around me. But she said, I began to think about it. And I thought, well, they haven't changed. It's me that's changed. She said to her boss, "That's what it's all about."
She got her hinds feet. That's all.
The hinds feet enabled her to take the high places. She'd been going in the low. She'd been miserable. She'd been lonely. She'd been fearful. And it's always that way when you're in the low places. But oh, thank God, when you take the Lord Jesus Christ and His provision for your life, you can come out of the low places and go into the high places. Isn't that wonderful? Well, of course it is. But then, what causes this tug of war that keeps our lives from tracking? It's as simple as one little four-letter word. S-E-L-F. You know, there's a lot of folk that deny to self. I gave an illustration here one time of how the Catholics, when it comes to Lenten time, and of course a lot of Protestants are taking up the old calf trail, and when they come to Lenten time, I was so impressed with what one woman said. She was talking to a friend. She said, "Lent is going to end." She said, "I've given up candy during Lent." She said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and get me a 5-pound box of chocolates. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get me a good book. I'm going to put my feet up. I'm going to put on my negligee and get comfortable. And I'm just going to eat that whole 5-pound box of candy." Now, you know what she was doing? She wasn't denying self. She was denying to self. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny self." There's no place in self for the high places. Did you know that? If you're going to let old self have its way, you'll never know what the high places are. You have to get your hinds feet, and when you get your hinds feet, self won't be in it. But here, you see, self can be good or it can be bad. It just simply steals the harmony and the rhythm out of our life. And whether it's good or bad, you see, many Christians are fine people. They're honest. They're law-abiding. They're morally sound. They're no bad habits. Maybe they could even be generous. But they don't have hinds feet. You can get around them a little while, and you know somehow they're just not possessing the high places. Somehow they are not thrilled with Jesus Christ and the provision that He has made for them. Oh, I have seen this kind so often. They're probably self-righteous, and they go around judging others, and they carry a "thou to better than thou" attitude, and they're cold, and they're critical, and they're unfriendly, and they show very little love to the saints. I wasn't sure, altogether sure. I was down here at the altar the other night. Here was Kathy. I had my back to her. I called Linda over. I said, "Linda, is Kathy back there?" She said, "Yes." I said, "You go back there and put your arm around her. Let her know we love her." You see, precious hearts, there are a lot of saints that would have the victory tonight if other saints would show them a little more love and a little less spite. Oh, yeah, you can defend Moses.
He don't need any defense. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth. You better begin to be like him. He just saw the back parts of God's glory and covered his face up because it got so bright that people couldn't look on it. And here you've been seeing the front parts of his glory and your face still isn't shining. You see, you better think a little bit. Hinds feet. He maketh my feet like hinds feet. And setteth me up on my high places. It may be possible that you just don't want or appreciate God's best. That could keep you from having your hinds feet. I've seen a lot of people like that. You tell them about the truth. You give them the truth. And they think of it as something, not worth my time. Brother Hill, I'm not going to give my best to something like that. I'm going to give my best to this whole world. I'm going to give my best to an education and so on and so on. I told you about my grandson, didn't I? Bless his heart. Brilliant boy. Makes a 4.0 average. That's pretty good, isn't it, Tom? Up here, do you? I watched him drift in. He didn't get to Sunday school. I watched him drift in when the church was well underway Sunday morning. Next morning, I was watching for him. He's out here brushing snow off his windshield. I said, son, went to the door. Son, you remember how I read that yesterday? He that lacks money, education, properties, a beautiful wife, vacations, he's blind. He can't see very far. Oh, he said, no, Grandpa, that isn't the way it is. Well, I said, I thought that's the way you heard me read it. That's what you seem to be after. Good boy. He's made his stand up there, do you, for Christ. They know what he believes. But precious hearts, you can get bogged down in the low country and never get your hinds feet. I'm not asking you to be a nincompoop. I'm not asking you to be a silly dilly or something like that. I'm asking you to get your hinds feet and find out that Jesus Christ is calling you to the heights of his glory. You're not going to find anything that'll come close to that. Not in this old ready-to-be-judged world. But here, remember how God was displeased because they would not have his land? You're indifferent to what he's done for you. You're indifferent to the high places he's offering you. Why, this Bible tells us that we, if children, then heirs. Now think of that. If children, then heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer together with him, that we might also reign together with him. Is that worth your time? I'm going to tell you it's worth my time. You do it however you want to. I tell you, you know, years ago, I've told some of you about it. I was in the very beginning of my ministry. There was a party that, they did me so awful. And you know, I literally rankled at the sound of their name. Couldn't stand the sight of them. But the Lord had been showing me the high places. I'm going to tell you, I'd look at how I hated that person, then I'd look over there at that high spot. Here I'm standing in the middle. And I knew unless I got over this, I was never going to get on that. Yeah. Sister Hale went to bed. We're out in the country. I went to the barn. One hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hour. I'm out there by an old bale of hay. And I'm offering God my feet. I said, give me my hind's feet. And you know, I got them that night. Long about 3:30 in the morning, here she came with an old lantern looking for me. She thought I'd got translated. But you know, I was just out there getting my hind's feet. That's the way it goes. He maketh my feet like hind's feet. You know, when I came out of that barn, I loved everybody. And you know, it's just been that way ever since. If I run into something that's a little difficult, I remind the devil that I've got my hind's feet. And I just go on and take my hind's. And you know, I don't see the child of God that I don't love. I don't see a man that I don't love. There are a lot of men that I can't agree with. And there are a lot of people that are on their way to hell. And someday I'll be changed and I'll say amen to the God that will send them on into the Christless eternity they wanted. Thank God tonight you can love them. Now, I don't know what your problem is, but I do know about the hind's feet. The Apostle Paul, in the 3rd chapter of the book of Ephesians, after he had swung out before the wondering eyes of his readers, that's superb and supernal panorama of the glory and the purpose of the eternal God, how in the dateless past He chose us in Christ, blessed us with all spiritual blessings, quickened us with His Son, raised us up with His Son, seated us with His Son, gave us a place in the mystical body of Christ, made us one, broke down the middle walls of partition, brought us from glory to glory. And as He told it, and as He swung that great purpose of God before His readers, He well knew how we tremble at the knees. Why do you think here I stand? Do you think I'd go over there in India and try to climb that great mountain back in the interior without any equipment whatsoever? I couldn't make it if you gave me all the equipment there is. But when you think of the heights of God, you just know you can't do it. But the Apostle Paul, before we get to thinking about it too much, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think of him, according to the power which worketh in us, to him be the glory. He can enable you. He can give you your hind's feet.
He can put you on the high places. He can give you God's eternal best. He don't mock you. He don't say, here it is, and then say you can't have it. He says, here it is, and I've got the hinds feet to put you on the high places. Let me shoe you with some more feet.
You want God's best? Well, it'll be your fault if you don't have it. He wants you to have His best. And He's made every provision for you to have His best. You say you want the victory, I'll tell you. He wants you to have the victory. And I don't care what it is. He'll give you the hind's feet to do it. Well, I guess I better stop. You want God's best, Dave? He does. Want God's best, Ron? Huh? Want God's best, Kathy? You do. Well, I'll tell you. I can tell you here is every backing and resource that you need. Look away from self and deny self and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and He'll bring it to pass. Shall we pray? Father, we're deeply grateful tonight that You could take our hearts and so mold them and fill them that we can be like You would want us to be. Grip every precious heart and every life. They that are unsaved, speak to them. Those that need the qualifying resources, help them to know they can be filled with the Spirit, and they can know the truth, and they can walk with You victoriously, triumphantly. Speak to us now in this altar service, and we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name.